76 degrees. And it's time for What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten every Friday morning right here, KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. What's In Outdoors brought to you by our friends at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower, John and Jenny and the great crew out there, and Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. And let's see, the traveling Phil Totten is on the road again, and I believe Osage City is where we will find Mr. Totten this morning. Hi, Phil.
Ron, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm sitting on a hay bale here at the Osage County Fairgrounds where the Lions Club is cooking breakfast, and oh my goodness, it smells good.
Ooh, have some for me.
When I left Council Grove this morning, I had a beautiful sun, and just driving through the Flint Hills, Ron, early in the morning is just so, to me, heartwarming and heartfelt, just seeing what the Lord has given us out here to enjoy. But as I got right across the Osage County line, it got a little bit cloudy, so I don't know what Mother Nature has in stores, but I hope she holds off for us.
So, Osage County Fair, and specifically, why are you there, Phil?
Well, the Kansas Wildlife and Parks has a mobile aquarium, and that's something I like to hang around. I just love seeing fish, whether I catch them or not, and it is loaded with fish. We're here to help educate people about aquatic education and what we do with our youth programs and talk about some rules and regulations. So I'll be working the fish aquarium probably about 2:30 today, and so if you're in the neck of the woods, drop in and say hi. And I'd like to tell you about our family fun summer-long youth fishing contest that we got going on.
Yeah, talk about that. That's a great contest, and a lot of kids getting involved. A lot of great prizes there for people and those kids to win.
Oh, I tell you, and I love the smiles. I love the kids and their enthusiasm. Tell me about the fish they caught, even if it's only about a 6-inch one. That's back getting back to basics right there. But talking about the Flint Hills, Ron, and the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, I've asked Chad Smith to join us on the show, and Chad is a native of Opie, and they got a big event going on over there this weekend too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Down Home is tomorrow and Sunday,
and there is a fishing derby over there. And Chad, I know, has really stepped up his game in the outdoors. When I first met him, he asked me to do a fishing program over at Opie. He was with Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, and then from there, Chad has moved to Clearwater, Kansas, working with Prairie Land Partners, but he started bass fishing on the circuit, and I don't know that. So now Mr. Chad is live with Chad Smith Fishing, and welcome to the show this morning, Chad.
Hey, thank you, Phil. Good morning.
Well, how you doing there today? What's the weather like?
Doing good. Weather's nice. A little humid, but that's to be expected in Kansas.
Well, Chad, with bass fishing, if I really wanted to go out and catch some bass, say in the farm ponds, what would you suggest, what time to go, and what would you suggest using as a lure or bait?
Yeah, so this time of year when it's hot out, you know, the fish become a lot less active during the day, so your prime time to try to catch fish is going to be early in the morning, or later in the evening. You know, top water this time of year works really well, especially in the farm ponds. You know, throwing a little frog or something like that on top of the water around the banks early morning, late evening, you ought to find a lot of success with that. Later in the day, you know, if you can't get out early or late in the afternoon, if you go midday, look for any type of structure. Whether it be, you know, a tree in the water, some rocks, anything, grass, anything that's going to cast a shadow, then bass are going to get real tight to that cover, you know, and throw something that's real slow moving, you know, like a soft plastic, Texas rig, something like that. And then fish are going to be keying in on the bluegill. But getting in that cover, staying in the shade, trying to find the coolest water they can.
Well, Chad, you fish that Opie Lake over there quite a bit. Is there any nice fish in it?
You know, I've never really fished Opie Lake for bass. Phenomenal catfish lake. You know, channel cat and flathead. Growing up, we did a lot of channel cat and flathead fishing there. Some local lakes around there, Lyon County fishing lake. Phenomenal bass fishery. Madison Lake down there is a, another really, really good bass fishing lake also, though, for some local bigger public water.
Well, Chad, in bass now, smallmouth have been introduced to Melbourne, and, you know, time has gotten away from me. It might have been 20 years ago. It might have just been a couple of years ago. How does fishing for smallmouth differ from fishing for largemouth?
Oh, man. Fishing for smallmouth is just a whole different game, and I'll be honest, I really haven't figured that one out yet. Melbourne produces some really good smallmouth, but that's just one thing I still have got to really work on and try to figure them out. The largemouth, you know, that's how I grew up fishing, and I really, I feel like I understand them a lot better. And so come tournament time, that's really what I focus on. You know, when I fished a couple of tournaments there at Melbourne over the years, and I still really focus on the largemouth bite. There's a good population of them in there. The smallmouth are a very aggressive fish. They like the cleaner, clearer water, and they're more of a sight feeding fish rather than a largemouth. You know, they tend to key more on vibrations and using the lateral lines on their body to find their food source. And a lot of the water I'm used to fishing is, you know, a lot dirtier in springtime and stuff when we get the rains. And so I tend to prefer fishing shallower. The smallmouth tend to like a little bit deeper water. And so I just got to keep working at it and learning how to chase those smallies.
Chad, who introduced you to fishing? And I just marvel at how did you go from just being a recreational fisherman to now fishing on a pro circuit?
So my grandpa, my parents, you know, growing up, that's where I really got the love for fishing. You know, I was really fortunate. My grandparents had a private pond that I got to fish. And then just right next to my house, Cobles, they had a pond that, you know, we'd fish all the time. And so I was very fortunate to have that. But when I was probably 2013 when I fished my first tournament, Kyle Cole, friend of mine there in Olpe, he was part of the Twin Rivers Bass Club, which is there in Emporia. And he invited me to fish a tournament just as a guest. And after that first tournament, I was absolutely hooked. And it just kind of skyrocketed from there. Didn't really know much at the time what I was getting into or, you know, what it was like. I was like, man, I can go to any farm pond and, you know, you can catch tons of fish. You know, it'll be easy. And getting on these bigger bodies of water, these reservoirs and great big lakes definitely is a whole different ball game that definitely kind of checked myself. So it's been a blast learning how to fish them and competing against the fish. Yeah, you're competing against other guys, but it still comes down to competing against the fish, learning the fish and their behaviors, and having to outsmart them to be able to win a tournament.
Chad, I think the last time that I saw you, you were fishing a tournament over there at Council Grove, and I wanted to see some fish. And you said, well, Phil, we weigh the fish, or you take a picture, mount on the boat, and release them. And I know in the early years of fishing tournaments, the public just didn't understand tournaments and how cautious the bass fishermen are about keeping that catch alive and returning it back to the water. So the tournaments that have, whatever you do out on the boat to make it a fair game, just what is that procedure?
So in a lot of the small club tournaments where I started fishing, we did what was called paper tournaments. So you have your boater and your co-angler. They're not fishing on a team, but you do fish out of the same boat, and you have a guy verify the length. So you catch the fish, you bring it in, you put it on the measuring board, and the boater or the co-angler who doesn't have the fish verifies the length of it. You write it down. That length is then translated into a weight and gives the fish, you know, a certain weight. And you keep your record of your five biggest catches for the day. And that way you can catch the fish, you measure it, you let it right back go. and the fish stay a lot healthier that way. It's a big reason why, like, we have our summer break right now in the tournament fishing in this, you know, the south here, the Midwest. When the water gets hot like it is, you know, it's up in the 80-degree mark now. Bass just, they get stressed out when you catch them and you put them in a live well. The survival rate decreases quite a bit. And so a lot of tournaments just take a break during the summertime. That way, you know, we're big conservationists, and we want to see the bass populations grow in all these lakes that we go to. And so by just fishing more springtime, fall time in the cooler water, it helps the bass be able to survive a little bit better.
Well, Chad, I know something that caught my eye was earlier this year you won a pretty big tournament. Now, I don't really know how the game is played. Was that a sectional qualifier that now allows you to go to a national tournament?
It is. So I took sixth place overall in that tournament. They take a top angler from each region, so they cut Kansas into four regions. I won the Southwest region for the tournament, and then they take another six guys. So there'll be 10 guys on our team, and we actually compete at the same body of water. It'll be Wilson Lake there in Kansas. But we compete against Missouri. So Missouri comes here, they bring their top 10 anglers, we have our top 10 anglers, and you compete just for mainly bragging rights at this tournament. The top Kansas boater and the top Kansas co-angler will go on to the national championship. And then from there, if you qualify, you go to the All-American. And it's a fun way to really step up and continue to grow in the sport and try to make some of these big tournaments.
Well, Chad, I want to go to our first break, and I want you, if you can, stay with us, because I want to talk about how important it is to get sponsors, the support of your wife behind you, which is very important, because it's a happy wife means a happy life. And then I also want to talk about your Cast and Blast event with Sporting Clays coming up in August 8th and 7th, the 7th and 8th, I believe. They're at El Dorado. So let's go to this first break, Chad, and we'll be right back with you.
All right. Thank you, Phil. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. Special guest this morning is Chad Schmidt. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
Today, the avid fisherman is finding more and more help on how to make cooking that daily catch for great family meals. Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has Louisiana fish fry products. Their seasoned fish fry mix is the number one seller in America. Just a right blend of seasonings to ensure that perfect plate every time you fry. The New Orleans style fish fry mix with lemon is another great taste. Look for 10-ounce packets or the gallon jugs. Louisiana fish fry products from Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KBOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Good morning on a Friday. It's 8:39. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. Phil coming to us from Osage City and the Osage County Fair. Phil, back to you.
Well, Chad, you mentioned the Twin Rivers Bass Club. And John Engel, I know, has been involved with that quite a bit. Of course, he's with the Express Tire, one of my sponsors. And how tough a competitor is John?
John is very good. You know, I learned a lot from John and all the guys in the club. Fishing as a co-angler, you don't have to have a boat to get into the tournament fishing or to be part of it. The co-angler side is a very important side also, and it's a side I really stress people start out in. You know, if they're new to tournament fishing or they want to get into it, you know, give John a call. He can, you know, get you set up in the club there in Emporia. But go as a co-angler and just helps you learn the tournament fishing very well without having a lot of expense, you know, invested into it, and make sure, you know, it's something you like doing or you want to do, and you can take it as far as you'd like after that. But the co-angler side, you get to learn a lot. You get to ride with a lot of guys. You get to meet a lot of cool people. And it's just an awesome experience.
Well, Chad, in getting started, several years ago, we had Casey Stanlin on the show, and Casey said that he knew he wanted to become a professional bass fisherman when he was 12 years old. So he started applying himself with education. He knew to become a professional bass fisherman, he had to have some money, or he had to have sponsors. And so he went and got a college degree in landscaping. So being the owner of a business, he could take off a little bit, you know, having people right. work for him. Of course, you've jumped into the game a little bit later than that. You weren't probably even thinking you was going to be a pro bass fisherman when you were 12. So how tough is it to get sponsors to help you with your venture, Chad?
So having the sponsors makes a really big difference. And, you know, one, without an understanding wife and a supportive family, you know, there's absolutely no way you could do it. And so my wife, Heather, she is my rock. And, man, she takes care of everything when I'm gone. And her support is the most important by far. The sponsorship side of things, you know, it is an expensive, you know, choice to do fishing tournaments. And so without the gracious, you know, sponsors that I do have, it would be extremely, extremely tough. So, you know, my title sponsors, STC Sporting Clays and Augusta Rental, have been just a huge supporter of mine. They're down here in Augusta, Kansas, along with Dave's Towing. You know, those three have just been tremendous support for me. I have some other sponsors like Fitzgerald Rods, TH Marine Supply, Russell Marine Products, which they're a local company in El Dorado, Greggett Lures, Swagger Tungsten, Torrent Lure Company, 10-8 Custom Baits, and Mesu Fishing, which is another local one down here in the Wichita area. But, you know, with them, the products that they make and that I use is what really helps me be successful. And so without any of them, it becomes a lot tougher to be able to chase my dreams and really try to take this to the next level.
Well, if someone is interested in helping you out, how would they get involved with asking you? I'm with Watson Outdoors. There might be a chance I could throw a nickel or two your way, Chad.
Absolutely. You know, just give me a call, and we can kind of talk through things, you know, what you get in return for advertising, you know, and what that sponsorship looks like. And there's kind of customize it to what, you know, whatever you'd like to do. Just give me a call and we just talk through it, work through it, and try to get you, you know, the most bang for your buck, and advertise however you'd like. So, I mean, as sponsors and stuff, I mean, what I am, I'm a salesman for those companies. You know, I represent the companies and advertise for the companies. You know, I'm not going to use or have a company sponsorship that I don't fully believe in and think that they actually have the best product out there or offer the best customer service. So I partner with people who, you know, have the same values and morals, and these companies are great. And I'd be happy to partner with anyone that aligns with my values.
Well, you mentioned Shane Pickett, Mesu Baits. They're out of Wichita. We've had Shane on the show, and, of course, going down the Grove, Shane is quite a sportsman for an outdoors ambassador, and everything that he does. I guarantee you got a quality person there in Shane Pickett. Well, one thing
Absolutely.
That I
He's
noticed,
been a good mentor.
One thing I've noticed on your Facebook page is that in August you're going to have an event called Cast and Blast. We had our first one over at Council Grove this year to where we had 87 youth, and they participated in what we call an aquatic education session. And then they would go over to the little trap range that we have there and shoot sporting clays. So tell us just about what you got going on August 7th and 8th on your Cast and Blast formats.
Absolutely. So we had the summer break, and so I was like, you know, let's have a fun event. I love the outdoors, whether it's hunting or fishing. And so, you know, being teamed up with STC Sporting Clays really, you know, made this to where it could be what it's going to be. We're going to do a combination tournament. So it's a two-man team tournament. We will fish on Saturday. We're going to start early in the morning, 6 a.m. blast off. I'm going to open the scales, you know, around 11 or 12 o'clock that morning. The tournament will go till 1 o'clock or so. We'll see what the heat's like. But I'm going to open the scales early, again, for that conservation of the fish and the fish care. So that way if guys have a limit and they want to weigh in early, if it's getting hot out, they can come weigh in. We can release the fish. Really want to take care of the fish first and foremost. But you will, so it'll be a 4-bass limit. You catch your fish, you bring them to weigh in. So whatever they weigh, we'll multiply that by 10. And that's going to give you a point. So say you have 10 pounds, you know, that equals 100 points. The second day, we're going to go out to the STC Sporting Clay Range, and each guy will shoot 100 sporting clays around the different stations. And you will take your points from each individual shooting. So the two-man team, each guy shoots, you know, it would be a total of 200 points possible. Combined up the number of hit clays, broken clays, with the weight of your fish and your partner's clays, and that's going to give you your total points value and determine the winner. We're also going to have a prize for top shot, so whoever just individually breaks the most clays on Sunday, and then also whoever catches the biggest bass on Saturday. Just a fun tournament, just something different, you know, and really combined both aspects of the outdoors, the hunting and the fishing, and just give guys something a little different format to have some fun with.
Well, that all be at El Dorado Lake. I know they do have a sporting range. Where is the STC Sporting Clays Range at, Ben?
So it is located east of Augusta, about 5 minutes east of Augusta. And, you know, if there's people traveling and stuff, there's plenty of lodging there in El Dorado or in Andover. You know, it's not that far a drive. It's probably about 25 minutes or so from El Dorado Lake out to STC Sporting Clay Range.
Well, Chad, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you being on the show, a wealth of information, and looking forward to talking at you later.
That sounds great. Thank you very much, Phil.
Okay. Ron, let's go to that last break. I do have a good fishing report. Just hit me in the head yesterday. I shouldn't be looking for a report. I should be fishing. And then we'll also have our week six. We'll have our week six winners of the summer long family fun fishing contest.
All right, sounds good. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten here at KVOE. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
Being country has always been cool, but these days it's cooler than ever. And although you respect the classic cowboy look, you want a style that's unique to you. That's why Wrangler Retro Jeans combine that classic Wrangler look with modern fits, styles, and washes that are crafted for today. So whether you're hanging out at the rodeo or out on the town, you can have some old school fun with a new western look. Just head to Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia, and try on a pair of Wrangler Retro Jeans today. Wrangler Retro Jeans. Long live Cowboys.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. It is 8:49. Sunshine, 78 degrees. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors. Phil Totten every Friday morning right here. Make sure you log on to KVOE.com and hop on the What's in Outdoor webpage. A lot of great information, photos, and good stuff from Phil Totten, who this morning comes to us live from the Osage County Fair. Back to you, Phil.
Well, Ron, I'll tell you, our bass winter this week, and we're in week six. Where's the summer gone, Ron?
I know, Phil. Slow down.
I am in my second hatching of bluebirds out there, and I did find some semblance of a garden the other day when I was out there. We've had so much rain, and, of course, with this shoulder, I haven't had that much yard work in that. But now when I should be harvesting tomatoes and everything, I'm just now finding my crops with all those weeds out there. But our bass winner this week has a fish that I know Chad would marvel at, 7.5-pound largemouth bass caught at the City Lake there at Council Grove. And so that award goes to Drew Buckman. Catfish, and Cole McNeil is the winner. She's 7. And I need to talk with my people sending these entries. A real nice picture of the catfish, but we can't see Cole's face. I know there was a big smile on that. And our winner this week for crappie is, I know a lot of people know her father, Jason Papsmore, over at Lake Cahola and the Cahola Cantina. But Ellen Passmore won that with a real nice crappie. Sunfish is Austin Sims. And I'll tell you, if I ever get into fly fishing, I want to catch the sunfish that he was catching that he shows. But we'll have all these pictures up on our Watson Outdoors webpage, and, of course, it's on my Facebook page. And Category 5, Ron, is our rough fish. And I hate to say that includes walleye just because I didn't have a species for perch. And right along with carp and anything that the youth catches, frogs. We've had a big time this last week. I got a couple of nephews and nieces from Colorado, North Carolina. And I tell you, I'm going to need to step up my vitamins, Ron, because going from 14 to 5, they wore this old man out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, that's a different set of energy right there, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. We've had a great time just seeing the expressions, and they have been catching the catfish off the dock. But our week five winner is Calvin and Colton Messer, 7 and 5 years old, and they caught a carp just about as big as they are. So, listeners, those pictures will be up on the Watson Outdoors webpage. Ron, just during the week, a lady came in, her and her husband, and they was wondering just how to catch fish this time of year. They were from Marion. I guess there was a blue-green algae warning over around there, so they come over to fish the reservoir. So I gave them the best tips that I could, and, of course, it is fishing. It's not necessarily catching. And so they came in. I met them yesterday, and they talked, well, my tips worked to an extent, but they really hadn't gotten to the fish they wanted to. And I said, well, what you need to do is go up to the outlet. Because just the evening before, Brent Fazee came down, and he's doing a feature story on a young lady that won part of our contest last year, and they was fishing up at the outlet. And they were catching drum, occasional channel cat, but it was just fish after fish. And that's what makes a fisher person, especially me. I don't care what I catch. I do like to catch something. But I went up there and talked to them. And give them some advice at the marina yesterday and said the hot place is up there at that outlet because you can't believe the sawguys that are being caught. And this bite has been going on for a week. And once the sawguy that in the lake, they have a 15-inch limit. But once they leave the lake and get into the tailwaters, there's no length limit on the fish. So you can take them, but you do have a limit of 5. But I've seen some 6-7-pound sawguy come out of down there on that reservoir. Bait of choice was minnows under a bobber, believe it or not. They're not letting very much water out. There was a fellow there last night, and he had a nice 6-pounder that he was using jigs in tandem. So, folks, the fish are there. The water is waiting. Phil's at the fair, and I'm going to go get some of them bacon and eggs.
Yeah, right? you better get some, Phil. So, you best get some.
Thanks for what you do, Lord willing. We'll have a show next Friday.
All right. Great show again, Phil. Thanks. Be safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Phil Totten, What's In Outdoors, every Friday morning here at KVOE. Make sure, again, you log on to KVOE.com and click on the What's In Outdoors page. Get on there. Hop on there. Phil's got great information, photos, and more. What's In Outdoors, brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50 and by our good friends at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto always take great care of you. Good morning. It's 8:55.
Buys are at odds with America's top health agencies over COVID booster shots.
The pharmaceutical company announcing Thursday it's planning to ask the FDA for authorization to offer a third dose 6 to 12 months after the second to take on the Delta variant. But within hours, the CDC and FDA releasing a joint statement undercutting that announcement, saying Americans who have been fully vaccinated do not need a booster shot at this time.
ABC's Trevor Ault.